Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
Off the ball, GAA.
Like the names you mentioned there, they have a lot of medals, and Howard probably the standout of all of them. But there could be a bit of mind games too by Ger Brennan in this as well. Like, you can guarantee, like, we're all asking the question, who's he on about? And you can guarantee the players that are going to be at home going, is he on about me? And when they're turning up to training probably tonight, maybe there's a bit more umph in him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
This is Off the Ball Breakfast,
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
I finished Quiz last night.
Great stuff.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, it's so good. This is the Charles Ingram cheating scandal. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Why is it suddenly
people missed it
on your?
I don't know. I think Netflix have added it because it's from 2020.
Yeah.
Because Succession fans will recognise the lead, which is 2 years into Succession, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Remarkable stuff, you know. I don't want to give too much away because I was saying there, you had finished it yesterday and I hadn't.
I was
and
careful.
I said, don't tell me what happened because I actually couldn't remember the final result. So I won't talk too much about it, but it is remarkable.
A British drama developed for ITV and AMC.
Yeah.
Written by the guy who made a play of it.
Yeah, your man Stephen Frears, isn't it?
Stephen Frears is the director.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, the play was written by James Graham.
Okay.
And you know what? Good Irish representation, and particularly at the start of the three-parter, Richard Cooper plays the head of ITV.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Which would have been, I'd say, right around the time he was impersonating you in that very chair. And Owen and
must
Joe Malloy.
Must have been.
I was watching that thinking he had to go into that character and into this character.
Must have got the job off the back of it.
Because he plays a northerner. Northern Englishman, like.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know?
You know he's in Batman.
Richard?
Yeah.
Which one? Begins?
Good question.
Forever?
And
Robin?
No.
Dark Knight?
No. Christopher Nolan.
Dark Knight Rises?
Christopher Nolan.
He had three, didn't he?
Yeah. He's a cop. Just sitting there.
Richard?
Are we supposed to believe there's a giant bat? What?
Oh. Okay.
Is that the Cillian Murphy one?
There's a load of Irish in it. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember him.
Why do I never remember his name from The Wire?
I don't remember. The guy in Kerry, Dominic West.
No. The mayor. He's in Game of Thrones. He used to do shows here.
Oh, yeah. Aidan Gillen.
Cunningham.
Aidan Gillen.
It's all Liam Cunningham the other day. Aidan Gillen, yeah. Tom Von Lauder's in something at the moment. And it is the most remarkable acting performance, that Love Hate, isn't it?
No.
You didn't like it?
No.
What? Who? Which?
Love Hate.
You didn't like Love Hate?
No.
Go away.
Oh, lads.
Go away.
No shade. It's just not for me.
I thought he was phenomenal in that. I don't know. I just see him a lot recently.
Sorry, not just him, the show. I'm not him.
Quiz, anyway, it's very good. And I don't want to give too much away, but you just see it in a different light when you see the drama. And I don't know how much of the drama is dramatised or real. You know, how do they know certain aspects of it? That's a big question.
Released during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
Quiz received a large audience, similar to the Netflix documentary Tiger King, the first episode being seen live by an average audience of 5 million in the UK.
And you know the timeline of it? Right?
I
recorded
didn't.
On the 9th and 10th of September 2001, and the fallout was the next morning, and they didn't know what to put out that night because they didn't know where they could put this out, and then the news came through at lunchtime.
That bought them a bit of time, did it?
That's exactly what I was saying. Bought them some time. Good show. I'll tell you what else I watched. And you watched something else as well last night.
Sorry, I was watching this Fitzgibbon semi-finals.
Yeah, actually, leave that. Jamie Wall.
Jamie Wall's Mary Eye.
Yeah.
Bet DCU. In DCU. That was great, and that was a better game. Finished level, but then they tore away in the extra time. But great stuff. It was great. And then UL bet University of Galway.
Are these all on 5G pitches?
So, good question. Good question. I couldn't get a close enough look at it. If they were, they didn't look jarring. I don't know.
This time of year.
Yeah. I don't know. They didn't look amazing, but they didn't look like they were being torn up either. So I'm not sure. Good question. I guess whatever DCU have out there is probably best of the best. So maybe, yeah, I'm not sure. But it didn't look, it looked fine. It looked normal.
And who are the standouts?
Well, the UL team's stacked. I mean, they didn't even have, Adam English didn't play. He was injured over the weekend. I think he was on the bench. It was hard to get an exact reading on it. He didn't start anyway. But you had Darren McCarthy.
He's good.
He's a good player.
Was he knocking the freeze over?
He was knocking freeze over. That standout was thing. Adam Screeny was unbelievable.
What was so He's good about
unbelievable hurler? He just it's that kind of thing where it's like there's guys out on the pitch who, and like Kyle Coughlin for Limerick is a good example of a guy who's been in around the panel for a while but hasn't nailed down a spot. Uh-huh. But in that environment, you look at him with all the conditioning and stuff he's been through. He looks like he's a man mountain. He's a big man anyway. Just looks a class apart. And then you see the guy like Screeny, where he's just, it's the angles he's taking shots over at. It's just the ease, even the economy of movement, where it's just like everything is so straightforward to this guy. And it's that thing where it's almost they take the shot and he's already peeling away because he knows. Lively. And it's hard because of the, it's a weird thing to be watching because the cameras are naturally a little bit lower. So you're kind of watching out a little bit more than watching down. And obviously the pitches are well illuminated, but it's complete black in the background because it's like, it's nighttime and there's no kind of stands or anything. So it's just, it's hard to sometimes keep the flight of the ball, but you probably have a clear idea of it down on the ground. But it's just, he peels off, he knows, it's like straight away. It's just, he's a class apart. He's so, so good. But then in the other game as well, in the Mary Eye, it was Shane Walsh, Tommy's brother.
Yeah. You're reporting some big numbers.
He got something like 12 points. He was nailing over freeze. Like, he was just, there was no bother to him. But they were, it's even funny. I was watching him running. He even runs like Tommy. It's just, that's the same sort of gait.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that, you recognize it straight away. You're like, oh, yeah, okay. There's something there. But I was glad. It was great. It's a very exciting, you know, the way when you watch like the under 20s. In the football and hurling, and it's just that little bit more open. And it's just, it's kind of, there was more like that.
Yeah.
Now, there was a lot of freeze. That's the only thing. I don't know if that's a consequence of the pitch, time of year, whatever it was. There was a lot of freeze. And that always slows things down a wee bit. But the two games were, they were very, very enjoyable games, very tight games. Couldn't really ask for much more.
What position was Screeny playing for you well?
I think he was nominally, he was 10 or 12, but obviously, kind of veering in closer. It isn't. Do you know what's interesting about it though? When you're used to it, you're not. It's, you were at the one angle the whole time, I'm pretty sure. So you're kind of always at the middle.
Right.
And it's going left, right. So it's hard to kind of get the depth perception on how far someone is in or out, or if you know what I mean. But I mean, he's playing in their forward line. I mean, as generally as far forward, but off, maybe just off that full forward line. But yeah, he's just his class. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the same way when you watch someone like Joe Canning or you watch someone like that, you're just like, that guy's special.
There was some fear that maybe he wouldn't be able to stand up to the rigours of the senior game as much. But that's not an issue at all, is it?
Well, it's not, yeah. It's hard to know. It's not senior hurling. Like, it's not that. It's not. There's obviously guys out there who are amongst the best in the country. So they always are bound to stand out. Like, Darren McCarthy stands out like he stands out playing Cork or Limerick or whatever. Like, it's not. But it's a different game. Mm-hmm. In certain ways, it's even just the sharpness of things isn't, you know, these are all really highly talented players, like, so they've got their basic skills down, but it's even in the heat of it, like, there's just sometimes there can be a little bit more struggle with getting the ball up, and I don't mean that in the terms of, like, it's not like they're struggling to get the ball up, but just under the pressure in the circumstances, things just aren't as that slick. It's not that level, but like, now they're serious outfits, it's a serious standard of hurling. But watching him last night, you wouldn't suspect this guy'll have any issues. But who knows? Who knows? If you're putting him against a ferocious thing who's mad.
The three best defenders who are all tagging him at various stages during the game when he's up against Kilkenny.
Exactly, you know. Exactly. Which that's harder. Like, that is definitely harder. But in that environment where you're kind of surrounded mostly by your peers, oh, yeah, he shines very, very bright.
Look, maybe Cormac Clay can try and win a Club All Ireland with him.
Who knows? Yeah, but let's. Yeah, But it's class now, and I have forgotten that you're saying the finals are going to be in Croke Park. So it's the two, I think. Is it the Fitzgibbon and Sigerson final?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's tomorrow week.
Oh, yeah.
Friday night?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Think
Friday
so.
Night.
Nice. I think they said 13.
Like a Friday night show.
In Croker?
Yeah, that'd be good. You were busying yourself with one of our own sports. It was dirty soccer last night. Manchester City into their first League Cup final since 2021. Peps won the tournament the most.
What a drought.
Do you know what? That was 6 days after Daniel Levy sacked Jose.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Mason took charge. This was during the Super League debacle happened that week. So Mason took charge of Spurs and City won the game. So 5 years later, back in against Arsenal, it's a repeat of the 2018 showdown. So last night...
Is that one of the stupidest things anybody's ever done?
The Super League or sacking Mourinho?
Sacking Mourinho the week of the final.
Do you know what was mad about it, right? The Super League broke on the Sunday night, right? They sacked Mourinho on the Monday morning and it was buried because that's how bombastic the Super League stuff was. Do you remember that night's Monday night football was Leeds-Liverpool at Elland Road? And the whole show was dedicated to stopping the Super League. Carragher and Neville. There was no talk about the match itself. And after the match, they interviewed James Milner, then of Liverpool, and all the questions were about the Super League. So Mourinho leaving was virtually B-news.
I kind of feel like at that stage, though, it kind of like... It wasn't like leaving Man United or leaving Chelsea.
Oh, no, he's definitely a lesser character.
He's flamed out. Like, well, yeah.
tremendously bitter about not having the opportunity to win a trophy.
Must have been some accelerant in his contract where, you win a trophy, you get an extra year or something. Yeah. They didn't win the trophy.
They didn't win the trophy. And, poor old Ryan Mason, thrown into the deep end and then some. Last night's game, I don't know how many people saw this, Man City Newcastle. It felt like a foregone conclusion before the game. Certainly did join the game. James Trafford had a brilliant match in goal for Man City. Newcastle had 2-1 and ones at 1-0 down. They had four major opportunities in the game. Made a triple sub at half time. Had another shout 30 seconds into the second half. Johan Wisse. Anthony Elanga finally scored for Newcastle. Beautiful goal, by the way. One of the better consolation goals you'll see. Rounded a few players, curled it in. Speaking of rounding a player, like we were talking with Pat Nevin yesterday. And then he missed a sitter after that. So Newcastle had loads of chances. But at the same time, Newcastle were brutal. I mean, shocking. Man City were cutting through them, through the middle of the pitch, repeatedly. The third goal they scored, City, finished by Tijani Reinders. You should see it. Lads. Oh my God, this is proper Sunday League stuff, right? There's one simple 10-yard pass diagonally forward and Reinders runs through the middle of the pitch. There is nobody within an ass's roar of him. Nobody. And eventually he collects the ball back from Antoine Semenyo via Dan Byrne deflection. Afterwards, Eddie Howe was asked about this. He said the system wasn't the problem. It was individual mistakes. Get the individuals out. Blame them all. It wasn't me. It was ye guys. Now, you pointed out there in a meeting during the week, Ger, that Newcastle, big question marks about them because everyone's kind of forgotten or overlooked the hammering at Anfield on Saturday night. We were kind of looking away like there was a lot of other things happening and they've got hammered again. But curiously, still create loads of opportunities, you know? This could have been a different game if James Trafford wasn't on form. Anyway, they're out. In a spectacular fashion, so we'll have a new League Cup champion, guaranteed.
Hallelujah.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's going to happen with Eddie Howe?
What's going to happen with him? Just there he is.
You think it's just that they don't...
They're not doing that badly.
I was listening to a Newcastle Raid podcast and there's a feeling that he is somehow escaping a lot of criticism in the English media. People kind of leave Eddie Howe alone.
What?
To do what he does. I suppose the perception is they have a lot of money, they should be doing better and they're not.
But they're not spending a lot of money.
They're not spending, and if you look at the detail of it, The Saudis don't seem that bothered about Newcastle. They don't spend mad money. They get, Johan Wisse, it's a Newcastle type player.
Yeah.
Either in old money or the current money. That's 100%. That's who they'd be signing. So they don't sign mad players. When they're on form, they're very good. Newcastle's squad is very good,
he was
actually.
He's also stitched up in terms of, he lost his star striker from the year before on the last day of the window.
In Isak?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then his new striker, the aforementioned Wisse, was injured.
And they brought in Valtamada, who they, like, all things considered, like, probably overpaid for by a significant margin in desperation. And
he was really good at the start. Yeah. He was like flirting with Coutinho early doors.
He just cost 80 odd million, which is just bad. Like, and I doubt he's making that call.
No, he's not.
Well, Philip Lamb was saying that this guy's not worth that money at all before he hit the bond. People were suspicious of him. Then he looked a bit different, but then he was good when he started. I don't know. I think they go through this form every so often under Eddie Howe. But it's not a great look, I suppose, for their aspirations that they get hammered by Liverpool and then Man City consecutively. And it's people look at that being like, oh, they're way behind.
I just think it's the same thing, though. They're in the Champions League. So that's 8 extra games.
Then a good result against PSG.
And they're true to the last, whatever, that kind of punishment round. They're true there. And then they also played, so League Cup, third round, fourth round, quarter final, two semi-finals. So that's an extra 13 games on top of kind of everything else at kind of obviously of a fairly competitive level that they've had to win most of those 13 games.
Yeah.
I don't think it's outrageous. Like, I don't, like, and you're looking at, I know that it's a very weird table, but like, they're 7 points off Champions League football. They probably won't get it because it's a bit too congested. But like, it's not a disaster. Like, what would you do in sacking them and kind of bringing in someone else? It's mad.
That is, as a matter of interest, that was his third semi-final in 4 years.
Level of success.
But you are sceptical, Ger. you're more questioning, are you?
Yeah, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if the powers that be decide that they're taking too much flack. Eddie Howe's done an okay job. Their net spend is pretty high. They're the seventh highest since the Saudis arrived.
Right, and they're 11th in the table.
Yeah, 11th, but they're behind. They're
3 points off 7th.
Everton, Fulham, Sunderland and Brentford. And they're looking at those clubs gone.
But none of whom have had those extra games.
We're better than them. I know, but, you know.
That does matter. We can't overwrite that. Like,
I think you want the extra games. The whole point is to get the extra games.
As I'm sure Unai Emery would attest as well, it's like, if you're not going to back me, this will eventually catch up with us.
Yeah.
Now it's a case where
his signings have been terrible. Evan Gessa, come and go. Daniel Malin, come and go.
Not a strong point. Diaby,
come and go. It's like, John Duran, come and go. And they made a lot of money on that. But I just think that club, maybe they're very patient and they feel like season in, season out, we get better. You know, the Champions League benefit is that the squad is much stronger, and next season, if they qualify for the Europa League, they can give that a rattle, and there's incremental building. I just wouldn't be surprised if there's a parting of ways there.
Jeez, I think it would be mad. I think it would be absolutely mad. Not for nothing as well as winning that trophy last year. I know it might not be viewed as, it won't be viewed as, neither team who wins it this year is going to take it as seriously, but it did matter a lot last year.
Yeah. And I think all that stuff buys them time. I just, like, they're low-key playing so inconsistently that, and they don't have the massive focus on them.
They can be superb. Like, they have about 15 or 16 brilliant players. Like, their squads, actually. They always have two good players on the bench. Like, as I said, they created like four huge chances last night that they should have converted. Like, Anthony Gordon had a 1-on-1, particularly a 1-0 down, which you would bank him to finish that. And then he got hooked at half time. You know, so it's next man up. Like, there's another talented fella coming out. And DK points out here on YouTube that they were good against Liverpool for a while at Anfield. You know, and they have a for a while in them under Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, they get well beaten. Interesting to talk about afterwards. Mark Gahey, right? Pep Guardiola wants this rule changed because at the moment he's ineligible for the final and he wasn't allowed to play the semi-finals. Do you know why he wasn't allowed to play? He wasn't signed before the first leg of the semi-final, whereas Antoine Semenyo was.
Okay.
So Pep says, can we use common sense and change that rule so our boy can play? So last night he wasn't available, Gahey, and he wants him against Arsenal in the showdown.
And he'll be ineligible again come the final on the 22nd. And, you know, the rules shouldn't really apply to Man City. Like, they're rich. That's how football works. Rules are for little people, right? Give Pep what he wants. I mean, we risk losing him. We risk alienating the man so much.
Yeah, a few months
he
left.
Decides to leave us. Don't leave us, Pep. Don't leave us.
Hopefully we can convince the Carabao Cup that Mark can play the final. I don't understand why he cannot play The final, you buy a player for a lot of money and he is not able to play for a rule I don't understand. Hopefully they can change it.
Yeah. Change it. Just ignore it. Name him.
Just play him.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you going to do?
Antoine arrived before the first game, so could play. And now it's the final. So why should Gahey not play?
Exactly. Exactly. He's right, isn't he?
Not my words. The words of Pep Guardiola. Why not? We pay his salary. He is our player.
We pay his wages.
I said to the club, they have to ask, definitely. I don't understand the reason why he cannot play. When I have been here for a long time.
Oh.
So
he's talking about the end again.
He's kind of saying, well, of all the things I've learned in the last 10 years, my parting ways, I would like as a gift to me for Mark Gahey to be eligible for the final, please.
Ask the question for me.
Please. you ask it there. Anyway, a weird game last night. A really weird game. Because Carragher was kind of pleading for people to stay tuned for the second half, as was Mark Chapman at half time after they finished up the analysis. You're like, you'll come back, won't you? Please. And he's funny. So it landed well. And it was a really weirdly entertaining match. There was still loads of chances in the second half. Curious club, Newcastle. Man City through anyway. So that's the other sport. Did we bid farewell to Carlinho? Anything else? Do we get the appetite whetted from now?
I'll do the.
Do you know what? As well, I'm thinking of talking about low key stuff. And I know it's amazing again. I was only. It was Phil who reminded me. It's Sunday's City Liverpool.
Yeah. Do you know, is it just me, right?
It's a massive game.
Or is there a big game every single weekend in the Premier League? There's like two big teams constantly, at least one. So last week was Spurs City. And I was not surprised at all when I looked at the fixtures this weekend to find there's another big one. And also United Spurs is Saturday lunchtime. Yeah. Now, is this? There's no transparency in how they do the fixtures, right? We don't know how they schedule this. Did they just give us the list, right?
They give us the list.
But do they like make sure there's a good week, make sure there's a good game every weekend?
Well, Mick has a good theory on this. He's talking about it. Mick has a good theory about certainly the end of the season.
Right.
And, he told me over Christmas. I forget the ins and outs of it. But basically, the big, something about the teams going for the, they can't know what teams are going for the title, so that's not right. But there's something about, like, why you'll never have City-Liverpool last game of the season.
Yeah, so his point, because I was thinking of when you were just thinking there was, big teams don't play each other last game of the season.
Yeah.
One time I can think of, Chelsea-Liverpool 2003,
yeah,
for the game to decide who Roman Abramovich was going to buy. It was like, depending who wins here now. So Jesper Grandkjær, Chelsea's own number 30, gets the winner that day. Chelsea qualified for the Champions League, and Roman says that one.
It was
in the style of Little Britain.
Champions League qualification.
The time.
That was what was it? Right.
And that was the last day of the season. Now, when else have two massive clubs played each other last day? Yeah, I can't think of the top of the head.
It's funny, the Six Nations obviously have decided that England and France are going to play each other on the last day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They know their onions.
They know.
But there's a big game every weekend.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a part of the congested, when it's that bit more congested that, like, you have things that, like, even, I know not from everyone else, but I'm sure there's people like the Man United Fulham game had a greater kind of grasp because of how close they were, relatively speaking. So it's like
That should have been, like, you know, traditionally, that was a run-of-the-mill fixture. Saturday, 3 o'clock.
Traditionally, I mean, how far back does tradition go? Traditionally, Liverpool Man City wouldn't have been too big a game if we take it before 2010 or so. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Will I do the papers?
It is a mighty weekend of sport, as I say, man.
And the Super Bowl.
It is. And Super Bowl, right? Also, Palace Brighton's on. That's a derby.
Is that A23 or something?
That's the appetizer. Yeah, name your motorway.
It's Brighton. Brighton at home. I picked Brighton in my last man standing.
Did you?
Final one standing.
How are they going? How does that work?
I don't know. I'm not involved this year.
Like, so last man standing. I get the broad final man standing. I get the broad idea of you pick a team each week and you stay in it if they win.
Yeah, that's it.
But like, there's only 20 teams. And yeah, it's a 38-week season.
Well, they start new ones all the time.
Oh, you keep going.
You get knocked out, and then they start new ones.
Okay.
I'm glad you listen to our regular weekly show where we talk about this.
There's only so much time in the week. I've always been interested.
I never bothered to find out.
No, but so you could get to week 20.
I'm interested to a point.
Yeah, but what if you get to the point where I'm going to turn to my left and ask the man sitting beside me, how does this work?
I always wondered how that works.
But see, you're going to bang on 20 for 20.
If you get 20 for 20, you're rich.
It's over then, but it's
no
over.
No one ever lasts 20 weeks.
Okay.
It's impossible. There's like too many upsets and draws.
Okay.
There you go. Every day's a school day. Marmite. Two-goal Omar helps City rout Toon.
Jesus, if you didn't see the match like, they were the two jammiest goals the boy's ever going to score. The first one hit off him. And the second one, he couldn't have missed. Like, he was on the line heading it in. Because Kieran Trippier, like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Still there.
Leave the football. Hanging on. Leave the football. he was slow to get up off the ground. Yeah, two goals. Finished by Rangers.
Caelan Doris. Begle for a huge threat for opener in Paris. Begle for it's that they've got a bagels for the L and the E are in the wrong place. Bordeaux Begle is where four of the players play. And he's talking about Bordeaux's attack, coached by Noel McNamara, or the backs at least. I'm obviously quite familiar with him going back to Ireland under 18s. We're going to speak with Noel McNamara a little bit later on. So
friend of the show, dare I say.
Getting the shout out from Caelan Doris today. Shadow play, who is it? Sam Prendergast. Fired up Ireland bid to banish gloom by stunning French in Paris. Ireland are friendless in the betting markets. People think that France are going to hammer Ireland. Man of the Moosh. Omar leads City into final showdown with Gunners. Doris, Ireland, Noel, what to expect? That's your tab of the morning to you so far. It's not great, is it? Check this guy out. Have you seen this?
They're having a pop off us, are
they?
Czechia.
Exactly what we want. Czechia's coach has again taken a shot at simple Ireland, who he says have no great technique. I mean, we would have all been saying exactly the same thing before the last year games.
Yeah. That is something we don't know.
Miroslav Kubec, 74, took over in December, and his first game will be the World Cup playoff semi final in Praha, on the 26th of March.
I'll be there in 2 weeks. Do you want me to scout anything?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Scout anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want.
The team.
Yeah.
Back with them. Why they think we're so simple. They're an average team in terms of play, but with immense heart, extremely solid and determined. In addition, there's cohesion and they work as a team. They're a very combative team. Competitive with quick transitions to attack, very aggressive, organised at the back in particular. ChatGPT, give me an assessment of Ireland.
That's probably it's fine.
Ireland football, he said. Oh, I can't say this. Gregor Townsend is apparently leaving Scotland after the World Cup. It's a long time away, isn't it? To take over at Newcastle. So Newcastle are basically in limbo until the World Cup.
World Cup.
It's Jesus, a long time, isn't it?
Six Nations was in my head.
Red Bull, sorry, Red Bull Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
He's already working part time with them on a consultancy basis. Can't be doing that, can you?
You're gone then, like mentally.
Andy Farrell's working.
You'd be pissed off if you're a Scottish player.
On a consultancy basis and has announced he's going somewhere. They're like, no, sorry, will you? No.
He did, Andy Farrell did leave Ireland.
There, I mean, he did leave for a year.
He did have a fling.
To like get the job that...
And he came back.
Yeah, that's different.
Why?
Well, because the IRFU part own the Lions.
Oh, okay.
The other thing that's happening that has shaken up the world of broadcasting in the UK, ITV are going to play ads.
Yeah.
Saw that.
For the scrums.
Now, how's that going to work, do you know?
I think it's picture in picture, is it?
Yeah, no, so we're not leaving the action.
I'm only going off a graphic.
No, I did hear someone say in the office that it's split screen. But I don't know if that's true. Like, I just heard someone say it. But they're not going to leave the action.
Don't think so. But I don't know what will happen sound-wise.
Oh.
I don't know.
The American ads during the NFL, right? They'd be promoting something on said channel. Commentators would take over and mention said promotion, wouldn't they? And go back to the action. That's generally how it works. So would the commentary team on ITV have to mention the
Tonight on Fox, Prison Break, starring blah, blah, blah.
Is it a promotion of what's on the channel, or is it just ads?
No, they're ads. They're ads.
It must be ads.
They're saying so-called picture-in-picture ads have been used by overseas broadcasters, including RTE in Ireland. I didn't notice. Did they?
When do we do that?
I don't know.
For a sporting event?
Has anybody? It must be the Six Nations, yeah.
No. We've never done it for
Six Nations. Never.
Samsung and Virgin Atlantic are the first two brands to try its brand new creative advertising format during matches. It's like amazing advertising for ITV. Everyone's like, oh, you can't do this. It's It's called a cultural erosion in the Telegraph this morning.
It's rugby's fault.
Rugby's unique set piece is what makes the sport great. End this cultural erosion now.
There's a lot of time, all right, to be fair. Like so when rugby, much time. When rugby's faffing about there, yeah, like 105 minutes.
We're worried here tonight about what time it'll finish and go to bed.
It's a genuine talking point for us here, by the way, which I mean, nothing to you out there, but for us, it's everything. It's like, how was the earliest we can get to bed tonight? It starts at 10 past 8. That could be a half 10 job, easily.
And if there's any sort of, if it's seismic in any way, you're going to want to see what's said afterwards.
And the poor French lads themselves, 10 past 9.
It's crazy.
It's a work day tomorrow.
Continental living.
I said there'll be a lot of work taken off tomorrow among the masses in the stadium.
In the stadium, yeah.
Roy O'Connor was reporting lack of real bite of the feeling of Irish presence in France at the moment. Yes. Now, what do we expect here?
We're cowed.
Do we expect a raucous ambiance?
A zombie showdown? Rendition of zombie.
Maybe it starts today, but reportedly low key on the ground in the build up to it.
I'd always wonder, is it hard to tell? Like, it's a big city. Maybe is it easier on a weekend?
There's a condensed area where these rugby fans will gather.
You've been to like Champions League finals.
Yeah.
Would you know? Like, where you were in? Wasn't Istanbul? Was it Istanbul?
Yeah, Istanbul.
Like, would you have known?
Getting out there was so difficult.
Is that the one where you were on the motorway? Or what?
Yeah, walking down the median of the
2022,
motorway.
2022, wasn't it, that one?
That was Madrid, City
Madrid,
Inter.
Liverpool?
City Inter.
Or 23.
The city.
Yeah.
Treble.
Oh, yeah.
So badly organised. The stadium was so far out of town, it was completely pointless.
Oh, it was the year before was the real danger.
Well, that was tear gassed by the French.
Yeah. This was just badly organised.
Oh, horrific. Yeah.
I remember
would
that.
Would you know, though?
Like at different stages after the game, absolutely after the game, but like in parts of Istanbul the day before, no.
Because I remember in Milan for the Milan derby, been in Manchester for Manchester derby. It's like when you come back, definitely the Milan one, like you wouldn't have a breeze if there was something on.
No, definitely not. Like even going to smaller, this is a smaller example, but going to Old Trafford. Yeah. You have to go out there.
Yeah.
There's not a hope that anything's happening in the city centre. Like, not a hope that there's something huge. When United are playing, is a big event. You have to go out there.
I do. Like, obviously, like...
It's a dense area.
Rory, and I know Jerry as well, written something similar. Mm. They're obviously familiar with what it's like, so it must be a point of difference. It must be noticeable that it's not the same. But I guess, is that just because it's like people are not flying out till today or last night?
Yeah, it could be. It could all get going... As we virtually speak, it could be getting going, people landing, and it could be great.
9 a.m.,
perfect time to get going. I have something there that might make you feel a bit more positive about tonight.
Go on.
Right? The last time France played on a Thursday was against Uruguay in the 2023 World Cup.
And?
They shipped 12 points against Uruguay, eventually winning 23-12 on the night. But they were far from convincing. Now, to add to that, is there anything to be said that this is a good time to get the French first day out, a new look French side, the one that toured New Zealand last summer was experimental, far from their first team. Could Ireland catch the French cold on this Thursday night? I mean, for all intents and purposes, this match should be tomorrow, but for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. Why would
tomorrow, yes.
Why would they be caught cold instead of us being caught cold?
Well, the reaction there would be possibly we have played more recently as a stronger unit than France. But France had their own games in November. This is real straw clutching.
Yeah.
Real straw clutching.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have this new halfback partnership with Dupont and Jalibert. Phenomenally, ferociously talented freaks of nature. Can they gel? That's a question. Will there be mutiny within? Is it a tempestuous place at the moment with some big names being removed from the squad? And it's a Thursday.
Charles Richardson is reporting in the Telegraph that there's a pressure mounting on Galtier to deliver.
Yeah. He reportedly wasn't his calm and composed self at the Six Nations launch. There was a different energy to him.
Right.
Nervousness, an anxiety.
You're rattled.
I, for one, think that we could see a rattled France.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I suppose that's what you're kind of... So it's not really focusing on Ireland, it's focusing on what the opponent's deficiencies may be. It's not really how you want to be going into it.
You got to play... you have a big jug of water.
I do.
I didn't know that was an option. It's great.
He brought that from home. It doesn't...
Total non sequitur.
I just suspect, isn't it? Like, I'm not sure.
You're so convinced of your point that we have a chance against France, you're like, easily distracted.
I didn't plan to be. I could see France flying out of the traps. Right? I could see them going 20-0 up. And then I could see Ireland respond in kind. And I think there could be a score in it at the end.
Only a score?
Yeah. I could see that. Now, that could be French easing off.
Incompetence. So you think they'll... So what? The spread's now to like 14 points or something?
Yeah.
So you think that they'll...
Seasoned gamblers are like, all day long I'm piling in on that. I'm not. I don't know what to do with that.
I think France will win, but I think it'll be closer.
Okay.
Than that. But I think the scores will be skewed of...
What's that based on?
Way out in front.
Because I can see what you're saying panning out. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Bit of muscle memory. You know, a lot of pride.
Well, you remember we were talking with James Tracy about...
Yeah,
both sides playing at their best. Remember that?
Both sides playing at their best.
Conversation. Yeah, and what happens then was, well, France should win, and France at their best could be devastating. And then the Irish side of things, you know, there actually is a lot of experience in that side, but there's also a few newbies playing, or a few lads who haven't played in a long time, and I could see a world where they're blown away at the start of the game. France are up for it; they've a lot to prove, as you say. Galtier is under pressure; the flair rings true; the crowd are up for it. Flying it, and then they ease off, and that's where Ireland come back in, the pride of it all, don't want to be embarrassed, and then they actually have their own quality.
Yeah,
many possibilities, but that is, I really thought about it. I was thinking, like, what do I really think will happen? And that is the closest answer I can come to in a prediction sense. Now, many people would think, no, it's straightforward, France are just going to hockey Ireland.
I don't know. It's if we put in a performance, it'll be somewhat surprising. It would feel like it's coming a bit out of nowhere.
I suppose a wee bit. I'm not too au fait with the details for it, but what I gather just reading different bits this morning and even from neutral things like from some of the English papers, is that a major issue is going to be the fact that we're probably getting blown out of it in the scrum?
Well...
And that seems to be, I suppose, going back to the South Africa game, that was pretty terminal.
There weren't... It's unlikely that there's going to be too many... Rooms that, all right. You know,
why is that?
There is going to be rain tonight that will result in knock-ons. Essentially, if you can keep the number of scrums down, it wouldn't be that bad. Will we get blown out in scrum? I don't know. I think that maybe this team scrummaging will be better than the team that we had scrummaging in somewhat. Like, so Porter's obviously on the wrong side of referees at the moment. Not to suggest that in any way he's an inferior player to what we have, but... So maybe it's just a bit more straightforward. It's closer to break even than getting completely destroyed.
It'll be interesting. I look forward to it, you know that. I like Six Nations.
Good.
Yeah. There's always a good sense of event around it. But what happens if they win?
Well, if they win, it's like, wow, unbelievable achievements.
All aboard.
Like, if they win, it's as big an upset as we've had in the Farrell era. Like, it's as... I can't remember us winning from being 14-point underdogs. Maybe the second test in New Zealand, we were something similar.
I'd say it's probably the second test in South Africa.
I think it's like about 10 years.
I was trying to find yesterday I was looking at the odds for the second test in South Africa. We're bigger underdogs now than we were then.
Really?
Yeah.
That's mad. Jeez, that was all the things of what was considered a foregone conclusion. I remember the vibe around that one.
Yeah.
May as well not even show up.
France are 7-1 on, I think.
7-1 on.
I think South Africa were something like 4 or 5 to 1. We're 9 to 2, and I think we were 7-ish then. The spread is actually into 13 points. Oof, Ireland 13 not entirely points. Friendly. The smart money.
Well, it's smart money, yeah. Because it's 10 years since the bookies gave us odds like this.
I suppose you just have to have faith in the fact that there's guys there getting chances, and people can do remarkable things in strenuous circumstances.
Yeah.
And maybe it's kind of like for I'd be lying if I was saying I think, but like you take someone like Cian Prendergast, who seems to be something of a late bloomer, I guess, in this scenario. He's 25,
mm-hmm.
not late bloomer. Again, anyone will pick me up if I'm wrong, but like it's one of those things where it's like that guy goes and has this amazing kind of game, and it's like,
he's now
a guy.
He's the new Peter Omani.
So, like, yes, you just like, what's it? Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah.
Or not, you know, maybe it's like 52-10 and it's like, let's tear the whole thing down with us.
Yeah, there's definitely like.
Last time, of course, these sides met Ireland. Red card, 4 yellows, 28 penalties.
The last time?
Yeah. Discipline will.
4 yellows.
Factor. Now that this doesn't really matter, right? This whole World Cup build. Okay, because people only focus on tonight and the trepidation that lies before us, right? But this isn't the team for tomorrow. You know?
What do you mean?
Jacob Stockdale is, 29, is he? McCluskey's 33. Ringrose?
Stockdale could be for tomorrow. I mean, Stockdale's younger than James Lowe.
What's the image?
I don't think anyone's writing James Lowe
That's like for like, I suppose. I'm just talking about the future. Back to the age thing, doesn't it?
He's like 3 years younger than him, I think.
Yeah, I think he's slightly older now than Lowe was making his debut for Ireland.
Yeah.
A year. Lowe was 28 when he was making his debut for Ireland.
So I disagree a little bit. I just say in terms of like, he's a very live option if he kicks on for the World Cup.
Yeah, I know. You'd just like to see more of the, ideally, the Cian Prendergast profile of mid-20s. It'll be good. I think, this is a perfectly fine team. But if we are looking ahead to the World Cup, it doesn't look like there's going to be an awful lot of change, is there? I'm actually interested to see if the 15s get on as well.
15s team is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Actually, I was looking at it going, for all of my giving out about the lack of branding around it, this ragtag motley crew, like actually it's not really, it's pretty exciting.
They've
sent Frawley back to play 10. It's like, no, he's a 10 now, he's not going to be on the bench for us as a utility player. He's going to play 10 and we're going to see what he can do with 10.
Kenny's playing right out wide for the 15s.
Yeah,
I was wondering what he has to do to be part of the World Cup squad. This is players like that I'd be interested in seeing come through. You know, for all the changes in this Ireland team, it is still, like, there's throwbacks, like, you know, Jacob Stockdale feels like this was like 2018-19 when this guy was hot, and he's in great form now. But there's, despite the changes, there's a familiarity to it.
I saw a thing.
But no one's going to be thinking about that today.
Where it was in, I think it was in the Telegraph, maybe Alex Lowe or someone. I forget who the two players were he was talking about. Maybe it was, who's your man? Surname begins with T. Everyone's excited about him. Irish. Anyway, but he referred to something like, even in these guys, I suppose if you're starting through, bringing through guys now, he had the number in mind that there's 15 games. The most you could get, most someone coming in could get before the World Cup is 15 caps.
And nobody's going to.
Which is nothing. And it's not going to happen. So like, if you think about it, like realistically, anyone else, I know you're looking for bolters or stuff like that, but like someone's going in there with probably, a bolter will have to go in there to the World Cup with single digit caps at most, which is a lot of pressure.
It is. The only thing is that if you get somebody to come through, they're knocking somebody out now who is seasoned and they've been really good for Ireland over a long period of time. So you must be at a very high level out of the team. So,
and then it depends how that other person reacts to the, you know, there's all sorts of variables. Like, you think about it, like, and it's such a strange thing with rugby even compared to football, where like Andy Farrell's managing kind of like, I suppose probably in his own mind, there's like 40 to 50 guys who at least are to somewhat the forefront of his mind as squad players. And you're like, you want to keep some sort of interpersonal relationship going with all those people. I don't know how they do it. Like, I genuinely don't know how they do that. How they manage all those kind of the egos and everyone's personal things and reading the room, and you're not seeing them all the time, and you're, how much does this guy need me to keep in contact with him? Like, do I need to set up a Teams call every week just to keep him kind of ticking over? can I leave this guy alone for a month? He won't matter. He'll be fine.
Disaster. That is very true. It's very true. Can I just make that point about the age profile, right? Like, that will become a talking point again this time tomorrow if we get hammered. It's going to be one of the talking points.
Yeah.
But people aren't thinking about it now. I'm just saying, I thought this was a builder for the 2027 World Cup. No one gives a shit today. Everyone just wants to get a result here and not be embarrassed. But, you know, there's going to be a string of complaints tomorrow if Ireland get beaten out the gap. That'll be one of the themes.
Yeah, I suppose. But it's like the World Cup's about...
give or take a year and a half. A little
away.
Over a year and a half away.
Yeah, probably till you're picking your squad and everything, a year and a half away. But like, there's probably not... I don't think anyone there going to age out entirely in that case?
I don't know. You hear people, you know, you do hear athletes' legs go, you know, they go. But like,
overnight.
Look, maybe they're conditioning. Well, it's not really overnight. It's another season. But
you
like,
you might have like 10 games, 10, 15 games max. Like, certainly internationally.
Maybe at that level, it's real marginal, you know?
Maybe,
and who,
yeah,
who
yeah,
hope
yeah.
you're against are just that bit sharper.
Quite possibly.
Look, it's going to be a point that we're not going to prove because everyone's a bit, little bit different. We yeah. have to go on it. We'll yeah. get back to it.
Yeah. Okay. It's 16 minutes past 8. We'd love to hear from you. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. You can get us on youtube.com/offtheball. We are previewing Ireland France for the rest of the show. Noel McNamara is standing by. We're going to talk to him in a moment. Alan Quinlan is going to join us from Paris at 8:45. Johnny Murphy is going to tell us why the it's a lily white hued Ireland starting 15.
More Kildare than Munster.
What?
More Kildare than Munster.
It's been mad, isn't it?